Sterling Podcast
with Patrick Woodward.
Welcome again to the Worthing Podcast with me, Patrick Woodward. In this edition, we take a look at a long-established charity in Worthing which aims to offer a listening ear for people going through hard times. We know it as the place to go to if you're feeling suicidal, but there's more to the Samaritans than that. Worthing Samaritans is based in Lennox Road, and you can pop in or call their free number, which I'll give you later on. I went along to find out more and started by speaking to Carol, who runs their team of speakers who go about promoting the charity. She told me about the tragedy which led to the founding of the Samaritans.
Samaritans was actually started by an Anglican vicar called Chad Vara, and he actually officiated at a funeral of a 14-year-old girl. And he found that this was very distressing because she'd taken her own life. And the reason she'd taken her own life was she'd started her period and she thought she'd contracted a sexual disease. And Chad was terribly upset that someone should actually take their life because they had no one to talk to. Yeah. And this was in around 1953, he decided to start a service where he could counsel people. So he actually set up this service in his church and people could come and talk to him. And actually the demand was huge because until 1961, suicide was illegal. So lots of people came to see Chad and they were in the waiting room and he had ladies volunteering to give them cups of tea and everything. And what Chad found was actually, by the time they got to him, just chatting to these ladies had helped them work through some of their issues.
It was having the opportunity to talk about it that made all the difference.
Absolutely. And these ladies genuinely listened and they could talk quite confidentially and in a safe environment. And Chad thought, wow, this is amazing. And he created the service, the Samaritans.
And is that principle more or less the same today?
Well, what we've taken forward is the listening principle. He got a huge amount of publicity in the Daily Mirror, actually. They called it the Good Samaritans. Mm-hmm. But although it has a starting root of a church and the Good Samaritans in the biblical reference, it has no religious connection at all. So Samaritans are not a religious organisation. And we are essentially just that, a listening organisation.
So tell me a bit about the Worthing group here. How long has this been going for?
Well, we've been going around 50 years here.
And is it quite busy? Do you get a lot of calls?
Oh my goodness. We get a call from the minute you sit down. Shifts are incredibly busy. Last year we took almost 27,000 calls in this branch. And nationally, there's a call comes through the Samaritans line one every 6 seconds. So.
And is that any time of the day or night?
Any time of the day or night. Now, there's a network of Samaritans which makes us available 24/7. So this branch has some days where we're open 24 hours a day. But we have to close at certain periods so that we can do branch maintenance, do various other things, like talk to you, Patrick.
Yes. Okay. How many volunteers do you have here in Worthing?
So we currently have around 80 volunteers. We're always out recruiting for volunteers. Ideally, we'd like around 100 volunteers to run the branch. And if we got more volunteers, we'd be able to open more hours. And, you know, so we can never have too many volunteers. And we also, all the roles in the branch are volunteering roles. So there's listening volunteers. But we have a lot of support roles as well, like publicity officer, recruitment, training, admin, all sorts of different roles. People do the garden. And
yeah.
There's only one paid role in the branch, which is the cleaner.
Right. Well, I'm talking now to two of the listening volunteers at the Samaritans. Firstly, Kay, why did you want to become a volunteer?
I decided to be a volunteer after I had used the service myself as a caller. And then when I found myself feeling better, I realised how important it was to have had somebody to listen to in that moment when you absolutely needed somebody to talk to, not somebody who had to make an appointment to go and see. So I decided that I would like to be that person to be there for somebody who was in trouble.
So how much time does it take up? How long do you spend doing this?
We do one duty a week for 48 weeks of the year, and a duty is between 3 and 4 hours. So the actual time spent listening is between 3 and 4 hours a week. We can do more, but that's the promise that you make to Samaritans.
Okay, I'll come back to you in a moment, but I'll just turn to Andy now. And same question, really, Andy. Why did you want to be a volunteer?
I think it was a number of strands at a particular time, really. I'd had some financial issues and one or two other things. And then one day I literally found myself with 30 minutes to spare standing outside Bunce's. And it was literally that. And I thought, oh, right, okay. And I literally crossed the road, rang the doorbell, and a lady answered the door. And I said, I'm looking at potentially volunteering. Came in, gave me a cup of tea and a bit of cake. That was it, really.
Kay, can you tell me something about the types of calls? Is everybody who phones on the brink of taking their own life?
No, they're not. There are far more callers who are not at that point, really. The sorts of things that people call about, from Andy mentioned financial issues, finances, relationships, struggling at university, homelessness, mental health, illness, you name it, whatever it is, that's what people call about. And of course, yes, some of them are contemplating taking their own life or are sometimes in the throes of taking their own life. So it's a really broad range of calls that we take. Mm.
One of the issues that's been in the news just recently is loneliness. And mm-hmm. I think they've appointed a government mm-hmm. minister for loneliness. Mm-hmm. I imagine that might be a reason why people ring up.
Absolutely it is. And particularly in the middle of the night, we get a lot of callers who have woken up and there's nobody, and there's nowhere to go to with that. For example, I mean, you get people who have been bereaved and they're missing the people that they used to live with. Mm. And we get people calling there because they're lonely, because they don't know how to reach out for help within the community. So a Samaritan is a safe place to call.
Yeah. So, Andy, you obviously get those types of calls, but presumably you do get calls from people who are on the brink of taking their own life. Mm. How do you personally cope with that? When you go home, you know, at the end of a shift, and you've had that to cope with?
Hmm. I think two things, really. The first thing is you never know. As Kay has said, you know, we're on the phone all the time, and you never know. And you could come back off holiday, and you could walk in here for your first shift after 3 weeks off, and you could find that person at that state. It's very humbling and a real privilege to go through that journey with them and to go down the route that they're as to where they've got to and why maybe that they're at this state. It's a real, real privilege. And you've always got to be on your guard as a Samaritan for that call. The second thing is in regard to your question, is that we have a really good procedure to debrief ourselves. I think when I was training, we were sort of told, you know, this is this place, and you leave your other world outside the door, and right. You come in here, and you don't leave here until you're feeling okay yourself. And right. And I think it's fair to say as well, if you have a really difficult call and you've gone through the reporting at the end and debriefed yourself, you may well even get a call from a colleague, a fellow Samaritan, perhaps later in the day or a couple of days later, just to check you're okay. Yeah. So it's a really, really good procedure for supporting us as well as supporting our callers. Yeah.
That's Andy and Kay, two of the listening volunteers at the Samaritans. I wondered, what kind of person do you have to be to cope with such a role? Carol again.
We're all incredibly different, and that's, I think, the amazing thing. Anybody, we're all normal, average, we're, you know, people walking down the street. I think you need to be willing to listen, okay? We're taught how to listen, and you'd be surprised how much you learn how to listen. I learned an awful lot. But there's no upper age limit. You have to be over 18. But apart from that, it's anybody who's open and willing to learn. You can't be judgmental. We are a non-judgmental service, so people will tell you all sorts of things and we never judge that. We're there to listen and hopefully help people find their way forward.
But if somebody phones and they're on the brink of taking their own life, do you try to deter them? Do you tell them not to?
No. Samaritans also believe in the right of self-determination. So we believe it's a person's own life and you have the choice what you do with that life. Now, clearly, our vision is that we hope less people die by suicide because they've had the opportunity to talk through their problems or their issues. We don't give advice, we just listen. And hopefully they find their way by listening.
So for a volunteer, as well as being a good listener, they've also got to be able to cope with quite an emotional strain, I would think.
Yeah, that's true. But we have an amazing training system and an incredible support network. You always have two volunteers on duty and you support each other. We have a very thorough process. So if we take a call where someone is about to take their life or maybe even be in the process of taking your life, it's actually you feel very privileged that you are able to take the time with that person and help them when they have no one else to talk to. So although it sounds really ghastly, actually when you experience it, it's quite upsetting, but it's also incredibly rewarding, feeling that you've actually helped someone at the most difficult time in their life.
Carol, that thought is very much backed up by the listening volunteers themselves, as Kay describes.
I said that when I started doing it, I hadn't been having a great time, which is why I was a caller. And then so to start being a listener, I actually felt like I wasn't useless anymore. I felt like I was doing something valuable and using some of the skills that I had learned in my professional life and helping other people. So getting outside of yourself rather than being self-focused, doing something for other people, for the community. So that's the positivity and the value. And also being part of something. So being part of the gang that you trained with, being part of the people that you do your duties with here. And I feel an immense pride in being part of Samaritans. Samaritans is a fantastic charity, in my opinion. And so to be part of that, to be able to say, I am a listening volunteer for Samaritans, is something of which I'm very proud.
Listening volunteer Kay, and my thanks to Kay, Andy and Carol for talking to me about the Samaritans. They're currently looking for volunteers, so to find out more, look up samaritans.org. If you'd like to talk to someone, the free phone number is just 116 123. That's 116 123, 24 hours a day. Join me again soon for the Worthing Podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow on Twitter at Worthing Podcast, subscribe on iTunes and visit worthingpodcast.com.
News and views of Worthing.
The Worthing Podcast
with Patrick Woodward.